Good morning. Glad you're here. I am still wrestling with a little bit of voice problem. I don't know why. This last bug that went around is gone, except for a little bit of affectation still right here. And so, Doug, keep the volume up if need be. If I fade, turn it up. Glad you're here. It's good to be God's people together. Good to be able to sing. I despise being not able to sing like I usually can. Not that what I usually can do is all that good. But when your voice is foggy and it doesn't want to produce notes and so forth, it takes a lot of the joy out of it. And so I don't like that at all. But that's just part of the afflictions of living on this planet, I suppose. It's good to have you here. It's good to be God's people today, especially today. First Lord's Day in 2014. And you and I are here, and it is just a joy. It is just a blessing, and we're so favored by God in His incredible grace just to be here, to be exposed and participatorily involved in what is happening right here in this room this morning. I couldn't help but think as I was driving in and feel just realizing how blessed we are to be a people who can come here and have something inside us that God put there that is called in the scripture that we'll be looking at, have looked at it already, about God's reconciling us. He put something inside us that motivated us. And therefore, here you are. You're here. As I'm riding here this morning, I'm riding past people who are walking their dog, and people who are shoveling their snow, and people who are just standing out in the yard looking depressed. we're blessed not to be that bunch of people, and to have a reason, an energy inside that says we want to be in this joy gathering, where God gets praised, where He doesn't get overlooked, where He doesn't get forgotten, and He's remembered in a tall, soft, and tender-hearted way described as worship. And that's why we're here. You're a part of that. So am I. And I'm so glad for that. Reconciliation is a beautiful thing. The scripture that is our theme scripture for today points that out. It's not the only place that that's pointed out. 2 Corinthians 5 is my favorite, perhaps, chapter in the entire Bible. I remember the season of life when I think I came to understand that passage. Because it talks about us being reconciled to God, not God being reconciled to us. And I've been in conversations where somebody said, "Oh, quickly, well, it had to go both ways. I mean, he had to be reconciled. He had to change his mind too." No, he didn't. He never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He did not need to be reconciled. You did. And so did I. And so He reconciled us. That means He changed us from the inside. And our scripture here in Colossians today said, "And you, who were once alienated, hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, you were a rat in God's disposition between you and God. You were not close. You were not a good friend. You were not treating Him well at all." And He describes you and me right there. He has now reconciled. He didn't reconcile Himself. He reconciled people who were hostile, who were doing evil deeds, alienated, that means separate from God, no closeness with God, whatever. Perhaps like some of those I rode past coming into church today. They're not bad people. They're not robbing banks and killing and maiming and stealing, I don't think. They're just not reconciled to God. They're still alienated from Him, not His close friends. And He was always ready for that friendship. They have to be changed. You and I had to be changed. We were. Therefore, we're here, proskuneo, kissing toward God. That's what the word worship means, as I've said so many times. Reconciled in the body of His flesh by His death. In order that we can be presented before God as blameless, pure, receivable. There is in that one passage enough thought that if it is truly digested, worth your coming here today and just reviewing it, thinking through it again. You mean, God's not mad with me? He wasn't upset. I didn't have to get him to calm down and not be mad with me. No, you didn't. He never was. You were treating him like he was nothing to you. And that had to change. That was reconciliation. And then in 2 Corinthians 5, when Paul sums up what he's been saying there, he says, "We beseech you, you Corinthians, you holiday parkians." The word beseech there means we beg you. Be reconciled to Christ. Isn't that neat? Calling on us. Change. Love him. See what he did for you. Appreciate it. See him on the cross and be reconciled, changed inside. And that is such a necessary function of your spirit that needs to occur. And if it hasn't occurred, you will be a low-key Christian, if any Christian at all. Unless we understand that principle, we can't love him like he deserves to be loved. God says to his reconciled children in the covenant that we live under. We live under a covenant with God. That's an arrangement he put together, an agreement. And we live under that covenant if we're with God at all. We can't pick out some other place to live under him and stay with him except under that he put together. And I want to read you just a little portion of that covenant today, and we're going to focus everything that I'll say around that. It'll serve as my outline. My outlines get tangled up even by me sometimes, and I won't guarantee you that I won't chase off in some direction that I didn't plan to go. So there's so many things here. I sit in Jim's class today, and it was a great class. But wow, are there so many related thoughts to that. So many have shared. Jim and I were sharing out in the lobby. He picked out a lady who was a lowlife on purpose. He could have come to that well at another time. Maybe early in the day when all those upstanding good ladies were there and only had one husband and they're great people. And he could have come then. He came when a sinner was there and he did it on purpose. Because Luke 19, he came into this earth to seek and save sinners. It's not surprising that he seeks them out. Read his life. One sinner after the other after the other. He's seeking out sinners. God says to his children under his covenant, the covenant we live under, Galatians chapter 6, don't lose heart. Good line to start with. Don't lose heart in doing good. Now children, don't give up. Don't be pulled away from it. Don't let this world you live in pull your attention away and it just gets parked on the side and so you give up doing good. Why, Lord? For in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary. Incredibly wonderful passage of Scripture. So then, while we have opportunity, that word opportunity is such a great word. It is related to the word ergon. Michael, remember the Greek word, anything that starts off E-R-G, you got some doing to do there. It's a work word. And that opportunity is just that. It's an active word. It's a word that puts you busy. As we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially Melista, above all, especially to those who are in the household of the faith. Most translations leave out the article there. I don't understand translators many times. They'll stick an article in there when there is none, like many, many times as they deal with the law. It's just law, but they'll put the law, or spirit, they'll put the spirit. But here where there is an article, the household of faith. It's not just household of faith, it's the household of the faith, the specific one. And most translations, yours probably leaves it out in this passage. If you got the New American Standard, I think that's the one I'm quoting. It's in there. It should be in there. What a passage. A challenge put before us. You have opportunity. Let me read us another passage. Again, from the same covenant, really, although it precedes the covenant being the one under which people lived. But this also fits in. And this is in Matthew 25, and Jesus is looking forward past all covenants to where he's got all people on this planet gathered in front of him. Everybody who's ever lived, everybody who lives now, and everybody who ever will live on this planet is in this gathering. And he says, picking up about verse 34, the King, that's King Jesus, he'll say to those on his right, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. This kingdom is a topic that's so big, I don't know if we, many of us, maybe me included, have really gotten our minds about what he's talking about. Aren't we in the kingdom now? Yes. Colossians 1, what is it, 13, I think, says, Christians, Colossians, us, have been transferred into the kingdom, taken from the dominion of darkness and transferred into the kingdom now. So what's this about the future here? We're going to inherit the kingdom. And that's the kingdom that is the one to which we transfer from here. We're already in the kingdom. We just don't have all the kingdom preparations all around us. The place prepared, John 14. We aren't there yet. We're going to incredibly new dimension and department, we could say, I suppose, of that kingdom, his people, his children, once we leave here. But come, you who are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom. These people who are standing, this is the judgment scene. They're done with this planet. It was prepared for you from the foundation. What's going on? Look, four. Here's why you are so blessed. Here's why you are inheriting a kingdom. Here's why, Jesus is saying, I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. Don't miss the pronouns. He didn't say, I was hungry. It's specific, personal, directly to him he says this. I was hungry. I was thirsty. And you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, that means alone. And you invited me in. I was naked, I didn't have any clothing to speak of. And you put clothing on me. I was sick. And there you were, you showed up, you visited me. I was sick, Jesus said. I was in prison, and you came to me. That is an incredible experience. Mike, I don't know if you guys know it, but Mike has a prison jail ministry going on right now. I had one on in the past many times. It's an incredible different experience to walk among a society, a culture, a people who are not out here where we are, but clustered in there. And Jesus says, I was there, and you came. And these people on the right hand answer him and they say, Lord, when? When did we see you hungry? We don't remember that. Feed you or thirsty and give you something to drink. When did we see you a stranger and invite you in? Or without clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick, Lord, and in prison and come to you? When did that happen? And Jesus, the King, will say to them, truly, the old King James says, verily, verily. That means absolutely solid. Truly, I say to you, to the extent that you did it to one of least of these brothers of mine, you did it to me. You did it to me. And so Jesus identifies with all the people around here that you know and I know and pass and see. Who are all these things? We've got them in this congregation. If you get down to people who are sick, physically sick, we've got them here. There are people in this congregation now wearing heavy, heavy loads. Because there's one thing to be sick and you got a cold, I got the flu, I don't feel very well. And there's another thing to be sick when you're not sure where it's going to go. Is it going to wind up this old bodily existence and put a period at the end of it? If so, that's awesome. We're looking at a dimension of existence we've never known. Being sick is a big thing. We've got people here, had them and still have them, in our midst who, they probably aren't starving to death. You can't see their ribs yet, but they're short on food. We've given out some food this year. People who needed food right out of that little pantry over there. And other food has been given out of homes and from people who knew about it and who responded from the heart. And I doubt that even I, in these times, are totally conscious of the fact that Jesus is saying, that was me. I was sick. I was hungry. And as you were doing that, you were doing it to me. What a motivator that is. Not just, oh, bless their pitiful little hearts. I just hate to see people having a problem, not having enough food, not having enough clothes. And I do it for people in my heart. But Jesus said, oh, no. When you cared like that, you did it for me. Now, as we look back at Paul's passage in Galatians, and he says, as you have opportunity, while, actually the Greek is hos, can be pronounced as or while. And some translations, including the NASB, the New American Standard, says, while you have opportunity, do good to these people. And especially those of your own spiritual family, my people, my family, where I'm the father. Do good. And then we combine that with Matthew 25, and he says, you're doing it to me when you do that. What insight. I need that. For God's people, God had given opportunities. And he said there, and he talked in the book of Galatians, opportunity. That's like, hey, there's some work I could do for Jesus. Opportunities come and are soon gone. I am very, very sure that in the year 2013, I missed who knows how many opportunities. They came, they were there. Earl was distracted. Earl had his mind and his heart and his life aimed somewhere else, and I didn't even see them. They came and they're gone. Now, if I put Jesus in that picture and see him in that picture, hungry, he feels hunger through those out there who are hungry. He feels alone, isolated, foreigner, through the people around me who have that very way of existence. Did I walk past some? If so, it hurts even more to think I walked right past my Lord and didn't do a thing. Opportunities come and go. 2013 provided many, many opportunities here. And we capitalized. We didn't miss them all. I don't know if we're in the negative or positive on balancing what we missed against what we got. But there's some wonderful things took place here in 2013. Read the front page article. That article got started many years ago and it's still going on. I think it's a great thing. We go back and review. Are everything in there? I used to put that together. No, you can't put it all in there. It's too much. But there's some good reminders in there of opportunities that we had that came and we did something, and I am so glad for them. All our usual endeavors came and people went to work. Opportunity. I can do this for Jesus. And they did. Vacation Bible School came. Who can forget it? Incredible Vacation Bible School this year. The skits, the classes, everything that went on in this building. And then the petting zoo right out there. Who can forget that? We had people from everywhere. Little kids running down. I worried about some of them reaching over to pet those pigs and goats. Not sure that looked too safe, but they loved it. And it was a wonderful time. And in that, we made contacts with people around us. And I think we need to put things together that are connected. We just had a zoo. People got to see some animals. What's the big deal in that? We made some friends. Their attention was drawn to what we are, who we are here, and who knows how many visitors have shown up in assemblies just like this from activities like that. It was worth it. Camp's the same. Good things happened at camp this year. God's girls, I wasn't there. I came by for a few minutes. Did I get to know all that went on? No. I just know a lot of good stuff went on. Opportunity came. And we didn't miss it. We did good to people, as Paul said. And many, many other things. We can't list them all. The church retreat, great time. Trunk or treat, great time. Family circles, God's girls. So many things took place this past year. Even down to the cookie exchange, I didn't get there. I didn't get a single cookie from that cookie exchange that I know about. I just know it was a good thing. I know it was good, and good things happened. People were drawn closer to each other, and who knows how many people were touched by even that. Many other things, our Bible classes, our worship assemblies, precious times, precious to God. Jesus looks down and saying, they're doing that for me. In fact, they're doing that to me. And each child, each person who's here, hearing about him as we did in class here today, this morning at the 10 o'clock hour, they're doing that for me. Moments in time, opportunities from God to us where good is done. And I rejoice in getting to be a little part of any or all of that. Time, moments in time. Ephesians 5 verse 16 says, make the most of the time because the days are evil. Make the most of it. Don't be a lethargic people who don't take advantage as you have opportunity. Do good. Time. Rapidly moving component called time. You will never have time to do one more thing in 2013. Never. It's gone. It's passing. And those of us who've lived past a few of those 365-day periods realize how fast it's passing. Going so fast. Seems to be speeding up. It'll soon be gone. And either Jesus will look and say, I gave them opportunities. I put myself right in front of them. In hungry people, or lonely people, or sick people, or just sinful people who don't know what's wrong. I put myself right in front of them. And they responded. They did it for me. Or the time will pass. And he will say, they didn't do a thing for me. They thought everything was okay. They thought they could just be like the rest of this world. Just float along, watch TV, use up your recliner, do whatever you feel like. Guard your comforts. Guard your comforts. We're a comfort-addicted society. You know that. Comfort. A little bit of discomfort. And I'm ready to go hide from it. Get away. Am I ready to take advantage of an opportunity to reach out in my discomfort even and help Jesus? No, I need to get warm and filled. We need to graduate beyond that because of having been a reconciled people and so glad to be there. They will work through discomfort. They'll do whatever it takes because of the privilege of being able to do it for Him, to Him, as though whatever we do is directly comforting and consoling and pleasurable to the guy who walked to the cross in discomfort for me. Many things happened here. Precious ones were baptized into Jesus, taught in our Bible classes, in our homes, in special sessions that went on here, there, wherever. And they were baptized, some this year, quite a few this year, into Christ. What a good thing. I'm glad we didn't pass that opportunity by. Hope we didn't pass any one by where it might have occurred. Our India work, I can't even have time to finish half of what I wanted to do. It is just, you know, I think it's 8 years old now. So they're going to be a new general neighborhood of 8 years old. Started out with 50 little munchkins. I still have that picture. I still show it when I do presentations. They're standing there, 50 of them. They don't even know where they are. They only arrived there the day before that. And they're just standing there looking totally puzzled. And we've come from that to where we are today with 155, whatever it is, that we have there now. This year, something around 40 to 45. I can't keep up with that. Getting numbers from Sangha, they don't make sense sometimes. But I know the total number now is supposed to be 94. That means 40-something of them, as best I can tabulate, had to be baptized this past year, 2013. What a joy. We get to be a part of that. We get to have something to do with that. Our number of sponsors that we need now. And everybody knows it. We need two sponsors per child. We got them all. We're covered. Isn't that great? Now, they'll come uncovered again because we lose one here and there now and then, so we'll still need to be recruiting sponsors. What a blessing. And each one of those little children just to think of Jesus looking on. Each child, they did it to me. I love that. I maintain there isn't any other source of gladness and just feeling good about life and being able to do something that mattered. Nothing is better than that. They did it to me in each child's life. Here, there, or wherever we get to do it. Jim Ice is now obviously, if you haven't noticed, taking a larger leadership role in James Connection, Angel's Place. That's a blessing. If it's going to survive, it's got to get past me and Jan, who are ancient now, to those who are going to be around after we're gone. That's a very, very healthy development. We need that. A blessing. I don't know what built a fire under Jim, but it did. Have an idea, it might have been Jesus. But he's a busy man for these kids. We've had so many blessings. All of this and much more contained within the words, as you have opportunity, spoken by God, do good. And Matthew 25, as you do good, remember, you're doing it for me. That's what it's for. It's not just so we can have an active church or people need something to do. Baloney. Do it for Him and the energy that provides. Don't lose heart in doing good, for we're going to reap in due time. That is a motivator. Jesus is hanging a motivator in front of us. You're going to reap. If you need something to think, if you're still thinking about yourself, you know what? Good things are going to come from this to you. The word reap is an interesting word, therizo. The word means to gather in, to be rewarded. That is a neat word. You're going to reap. So what might this reaping be? Use your imagination. In fact, the scripture challenges us to use our imagination sometimes. Well, we can't know specific what the reaping is in the future. We can get an idea, though, it's pretty good. God is able to do more than we ask or think. And the NIV and other translations say, ask or imagine. Use your imagination. God is able to do more than you can imagine. And He says, you're going to reap? That sounds pretty outstanding. I don't know exactly what it means. Can't put it in specifics. Answer again, the psalmist this time, Psalms 37. I quit passing slides. I don't even know where I am. Yeah, I passed a bunch of them. There it is. Take delight in the Lord and doing for Him. And just seeing Him in front of you in all the opportunities that come by your life as time flows on. Take delight in the Lord and He will give you the desires of your heart. That's the promise. You can test that in real life. You can test it in your life. See if, is that true? Think I'll try it out. See if it works. Try it. Delight in the Lord, first of all. He'll give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to Him, to the Lord. Trust in Him. And He will act. That means He'll get busy. It will not be, you did it and He didn't even notice. It made no difference. Yes, He'll act. That can be tested in your life and in mine. Needs to be in each of our lives. He will act. We'll have to curb this in a little bit and get reference to time. Time, as I've already said, it won't slow down. Listen to one passage again on this same point. I have to put this one in. There is no one who has left houses or brothers, and this has confused some people. Why would you leave your house and your home and your brothers and sisters and fathers? Because they are interfering with me following my Lord and putting Him first. They're interfering with me taking advantage of His opportunities. They're claiming me. If I have left anybody, the whole lifestyle, for my sake, for Jesus' sake, and for the gospel, none, there'll be none who will not receive 100-fold now. I love that word now. I remember when I ran across that, thinking, oh, maybe some things I haven't learned by experience. I've heard them in words. I haven't learned them by the fact that they really work. You'll receive 100-fold now, and if you don't understand what that means, in this time. You'll see 100-fold. Job only got 2-fold. Man, did he come out way ahead of the game. And in the age to come, eternal life. If Jesus could find a better way, God could find a better way to try to motivate us, I don't know how he would do it. He's put the motivation there, full force, right in front of us. Our God has unlimited power to give. The only thing this promise that this scripture holds needs is testing in your life. That's all it needs. That's the only thing missing. Will my life or your life, will it test it, see if it's really true? God's conditions are few. They're very logical. They come out in the Galatian scripture that we've already read. Don't just timidly try it and quickly tire. Don't grow weary in well-doing. Bail into it. Go at it. Try it. Give it a real test. Look for these as I get opportunity occasions. Look for them. Do this good above all within the family of the Lord. That's here. Do it there. As you hear the tremendousness of this idea for life, take delight in the Lord. Commit your way to Him. Watch as He acts, as change occurs, as life moves up in a bright direction. Will there be no problems? There's problems everywhere. But the end of the road is beautiful and splendorous. And along that road, Jesus with you, it can't get better than that. He tries to motivate us. I want to read one last scripture to you. Jesus went out bearing his own cross to the place of the skull. I like this slide. It's just a sketch. But it happened. I know they finally got Simon of Cyrene to carry the cross for him. I don't know what. There's no explanation whether he carried it halfway there, most of the way there, and couldn't get it all the way. We don't know. But I know he went out bearing it himself. And in this puts a picture in my mind of how much he cared for me and you. By this time, he's been beaten horribly. I have an idea that the human body can't know more pain than his body would be knowing as he lugs that old cross along and still facing the pain of death, of nails, of suffering 6 more hours once they stand him up for me. Does he deserve that this matter to me? Did I watch for the opportunities to do for him? He said he'll bring past my life and yours. Yeah, it deserves it. We have begun walking by faith for just a few days. What is it? We're in the 5th day, I guess, of 2014. Walking by faith through opportunities to do for Him. Don't let Him down in your life. Open your eyes. Pray that He'll help you have spiritual vision to see those opportunities. And then to go to them and minister to wherever you find them and precious people out there and have Jesus say, "You're doing that to me." And come away from that knowing the joy, uplifting experience that that is in your life. Is there a conscious, secret fellowship walk like this happening with you now, day by day? Can you wake up each morning and realize that morning as a brand new invitation from Jesus for what we're talking about? Doing for Him. Not just for me, for the things that I've kind of built in my life and I kind of like them and this self-centered junk, but to do for Him. You walk with Him today looking for opportunities, and then throughout the 360 days or whatever it is we've got left in this year and beyond, Jesus says, "I'll see to it that you receive 100-fold now an eternal life when you need it most, when this walk is done. You need to come to Him. Be baptized in Him if you have not. Why not? Why delay? What's more important? What makes sense? If He wants it, this Jesus who walked with that cross to the top of Calvary Hill, if He wants it, what on earth do I delay for? What can I put in that blank? I'm going to delay for this. Please put nothing there. And if you need to come to Him and just by contract, it's like signing a contract with Him when we come to be baptized. We're saying, I believe in His death, burial, and resurrection. Lord, write my name as a believer in that. Let me show you I'll be baptized after you said so to show I believe in you for who you are that very way, which was your idea. Come let that happen today. And if you have just walked that silly walk where you're mostly concerned for your own stuff, put down a stop sign. Turn around. That's what repentance is. Come and we'll pray with you that you'll be successful in that turn as we stand and sing.